This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. We are going to be discussing the recent assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump and political violence in America in general. A very serious conversation, one that has dominated the news cycle recently, and we felt that it warranted a longer discussion. Good morning, Senator Blumenthal. Welcome to the program.
Wonderful to be with you. Thanks for having me, Morgan.
And I also want to stress for our audience that we are recording this on Thursday, July 18th, 2024. I'm saying that because the news cycle has been changing so much these days that we just wanted to make it clear to everybody in the audience. Senator, if you could take us back to Saturday evening, July 13th, 2024, when we learned what had happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, how did you initially feel about that? How did you react?
I was shocked and quite honestly shaken by the news of this bold, brazen assassination attempt on former President Trump. Absolutely appalled and astonished that it could happen in that kind of setting, and hoping for the best, not only for former President Trump, but also for anybody in that audience. And we learned that there was good news about former President Trump, but very sad, tragic news for some of the people in the audience. And as the night went on, I was even more shaken by the thought that this kind of political violence could occur in this great country, the greatest country in the history of the world.
And unfortunately, it wasn't just this incident. I have a brief list, and certainly not a complete list. The 2017 shooting of Republican Congressman Steve Scalise at the baseball practice game. The 2020 kidnapping plot against Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, which came close to fruition but was thwarted. The January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol riot and assault. The 2022 hammer attack on former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi. And now we add to the list this assassination attempt on former President Trump. And it is the first shot to hit a president since the 1981 attempted assassination on Ronald Reagan, the former president. And that's quite a long time ago. And I'm sure that a lot of people in our audience may have forgotten about that until this moment. So the question is, obviously, do you denounce political violence of any kind here in America?
Political violence is unacceptable. We can disagree, but obviously those disagreements should be verbal, not physical, of any kind. Not to mention the deadly kind of attack that occurred in many of those instances you mentioned. And I can remember very well the assassination of President Kennedy and the death of Robert Kennedy, two public officials. And the presence of that kind of threat is intimidating to discourse in this country, to civil disagreement, because there's the threat of violent extremism. And I'll come right to the point, Morgan. The director of the FBI has told us on the Judiciary Committee again and again about the threat of violent extremism in this country. He has called it the most persistent and lethal threat to our national security. And obviously the dangers of the lone gunman, as he has described it, disconnected and disenchanted young males, fits the description of the shooter last Saturday. And so I think we have to recognize that political violence is deeply unacceptable in this country. And my heart goes out to the loved ones of everyone who was hurt or killed, and hopes for the quick recovery of the injured, including former President Trump.
I think, Senator Blumenthal, that this is an important aspect to the story that I want to bring up, and I think that you will be able to shed some light on this. We're living in such an era that is very politically divided, and it would come as a surprise maybe to some people to hear that President Biden called and spoke with former President Trump the night that that happened. That former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who certainly does not agree with Trump's politics, made a tweet that really empathized with him in a way, saying, quote, "As one whose family has been the victim of political violence, I know firsthand that political violence of any kind has no place in our society. I thank God that former President Trump is safe." And maybe listeners are wondering if these are just words that are being said or if, in fact, they do mean it. Could you give us an idea, though, about that dynamic in Washington where you disagree politically, but yet you are concerned truly for one another's well-being?
We are concerned as colleagues. We are truly partners in public service. I hope that doesn't sound too presumptuous, but we're definitely colleagues and partners in trying to govern reasonably and sensibly for the good of the whole nation. We are one country. We should come together as Republicans and Democrats. And I spend every day reaching across the aisle. I'm working on artificial intelligence safeguards with Josh Hawley, a colleague Republican from Missouri. I'm working on the Kids Online Safety Act to protect children on the internet with Marsha Blackburn, Republican colleague of Tennessee. I could go down a list of legislative initiatives where I am working with Republican colleagues who probably vote with me rarely, if at all. But where we have common ground, we try to work together. And likewise, we all have common ground on keeping violence out of politics and out of America. And therefore, on a lot of criminal justice initiatives, I've worked with Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, with my colleague John Cornyn, recently a bill to promote more pharmaceutical drug access, lower drug prices to bar the kinds of patent abuses that raise those prices. I've traveled to Ukraine with Lindsey Graham several times. I've been to Ukraine five times in the last 2 years, and he and I worked together on a resolution to condemn Russia as a sponsor of state terrorism, which would have implications to stop some of the Russian aggression, we hope. So we try to seek and hold common ground, but at the very top is to fight political violence and to care for one another in terms of physical safety and well-being.
When we think about language that has come from both sides, and I'm not picking one side or the other here, I'll give some examples from both sides, but we've been hearing from listeners that obviously the political rhetoric has become very heated, not just in the last year, certainly in the last year, but in maybe the last decade. Former President Trump is being criticized and has been criticized for phrases like fight like hell. In 2023, Congressman Daniel Goldman, Democrat of New York, has apologized for saying Trump should be eliminated. So when we hear phrases like that and terminology like that, and then on Sunday night hear President Biden say it's time to cool things down, it's time to cool the rhetoric, can that be done and last, not just the short term because of this past incident? What's your insight on that, Senator Blumenthal?
I think the rhetoric can be cooled or toned down. Every time I speak, I think about the implications of my words. That is not to say I am perfect by any means. Everybody is prone to overstate, and it sometimes happens when emotion gets the better of us. But I think we do need to make an effort, and we can, to tone down the rhetoric, because it encourages and maybe even legitimizes the inclinations of some people to resort to physical expression of their anger or distrust. And so I think we should make every effort to tone down our rhetoric.
I'd like to also mention social media has been seen as a tool that has really inflamed the political scene in recent years, not necessarily among politicians who tweet, and certainly they do, or maybe make a post on Facebook or Instagram, any of the platforms, but people who follow it, who might be extremists, if you will, and they take it the wrong way. What can be done as far as social media goes, not to overstep political freedoms and expression of your thoughts in a public forum, but to make sure that it does not go down the path of the violence that we can and have seen?
Well, so far as children is concerned, I have a bill. It's called the Kids Online Safety Act, which would give parents and kids greater control over the way these algorithms work, you know, the black box mechanisms that in effect amplify or exaggerate the effect of certain posts. They will drive eating disorders or...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Bullying or suicidal ideation repetitively at children. And I think a greater measure of accountability for social media has to be imposed. They need to be held responsible when bad things happen as a result of their amplifying, exaggerating, repeating certain messages. There are rights of free expression, but right now social media very often has a blanket immunity from any kind of legal accountability. I think we need to look at Section 230 and seek to limit its reach so as to impose a duty of care on social media, a formal duty of care, such as we apply to other industries. And I think also to provide for greater transparency for social media as to how it works so people understand better how it may exaggerate or amplify certain bad messages. And I think transparency is a good thing, giving people tools to moderate it. Social media is obviously a very powerful force. It's can't be censored in the way that we might want all the time because there are First Amendment rights and free expression liberties, but we need to be mindful of its power.
Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal is my guest this morning on Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and we're having a serious conversation about political violence in general in America, obviously in the wake of the assassination attempt on former President Trump. I'd like to get back into some political analysis with you, Senator. We hear a lot of name-calling these days in the political world, and obviously we could go back in history and find examples of name-calling. Just as a basic example, former President Trump using on the campaign trail Sleepy Joe. Even President Biden has done the same, trying to get Broke Dawn, referring to Donald Trump, to catch on. This is nothing new in our political system, but when does name-calling possibly go too far?
You know, I'm reminded of a very famous Supreme Court opinion by Justice Stewart on a pornography question. And he said, you know, I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it. And I think that's the basic rule of thumb. It's a matter of taste and judgment. Name calling may be offensive, and sometimes it should be avoided in some instances. And I don't want to go into specifics, but I think voters really have to take into account what they think about these kind of negatives. I have voters all the time say to me during my campaigns, you know, I really want to commend you. I'm going to vote for you. But especially, I like the fact that you are positive in your campaigns. You emphasize what you've done and what you want to do when you're a United States senator or before when I was attorney general of the state. And I've tried it at all instances to avoid negative campaigns. But I also want to emphasize that candidates should be mindful of their own security when we're talking about physical threats. In the case of this attack on President Trump, there was a massive security failure. The Secret Service should be held accountable. There should be an investigation, and leadership should be replaced, because I think the failure to stop that shooting was a real lapse and abject failure in security that should result in some accountability here. So we may be talking in abstract terms about name calling, about offensive speech, but at the end of the day, we should also be concerned about physical security, because that's important to enable free speech.
I've been hearing reports this past week. It is possible the U.S. Secret Service was aware of this threat before the former president went on the stage, that perhaps they held off before they took out or neutralized the suspect. There has been a lot of criticism, even calls for Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to resign. Are there any outcomes that you're looking for, information that you want answered?
I'll be involved in an investigation on the Homeland Security Committee, where I serve, and I want to see a full, fair, penetrating investigation. Second, full transparency to the American people. Third, accountability. Let's hold responsible all of the officials who were in the lead of protecting the president on that day, the former president, Donald Trump, because there have been reports, and I've had briefings, that are truly appalling and astonishing. The idea that this shooter went to the roof of a building in plain sight, possibly almost an hour before the president took the stage, seen there by the Secret Service, and he and his weapon observed well in advance of the actual use of it, are very, very deeply troubling. And I want all of the facts surrounding what happened on that day. And I want to know the motive, the way that the shooter obtained the weapon, and other facts and details that will help us know what happened truly on that day.
I'd like to reference a tweet by your colleague, Connecticut U.S. Senator Chris Murphy, who had a series of tweets shortly after this incident had happened, spanning a few days. He had been talking about it online, drawing to that connection that you made earlier between men who are disenchanted, people who feel that violence is the solution when it is not. And he said, quote, "We can choose to build stronger communities and institutions where people find connection and meaning. When we understand more about how this 20-year-old suspect shooter was thinking, what he was thinking, and how he acted, is that something that you're prepared to look into deeper? Obviously, I think you would agree with him, but what could be done if we think about institutions where people can find that connection and meaning that they might be missing in life?
Connections and meaning are so fundamental to our existence, whether it is through our faith, our education, our family, and everyone will find different ways of establishing connections and community. But certainly we should make an effort to strengthen the bonds that we share. At the same time, you know, there's no excuse for physical violence or political violence in this country. And we need to reach out to people like this shooter who, whatever his motive, was really in effect deranged in what he did.
There's another angle of this that I would like to go into for a moment. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and you're listening to Face Connecticut with Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. Democratic Congressman Benny Thompson had introduced a bill called Denying Infinite Security and Government Resources Allocated Toward Convicted and Extremely Dishonorable Former Protectees Act to automatically bar Secret Service protection for anyone sentenced to prison for a federal or state crime. Obviously, that would target former President Trump. And Congressman Thompson has been receiving a lot of criticism in recent days about this idea. He's defended it, saying that this wouldn't have applied to former President Trump because he was at a rally. He wasn't in prison. How do you find this proposal? Is this something that you have been following since it was introduced?
I haven't followed that proposal. I don't know what its full details are, but I think former President Trump needed and deserved protection from the Secret Service. And as I've just said very emphatically, we ought to make sure that that Secret Service protection was, in fact, responsible and adequate and hold accountable anyone who may have been involved in its failure.
In this day and age, politically, and in our world in general, there's so much violence, it might not necessarily be a target on somebody who is in Washington, D.C., but perhaps they're just an innocent bystander, a senator, a congressman, a former president, whoever, and gunshots ring out. With this violence happening everywhere and you and your colleagues doing their business as best as they can and as publicly as they can, would you support increased protections for all lawmakers, not just the top politicians in Washington?
You know, I have very mixed feelings about security protection. I've been in public life now for a number of decades. I march in parades, go to fairs and festivals all around the state of Connecticut. Just last weekend, I was in the East Hampton Old Home Day Parade. The next day on Sunday, I was in the Puerto Rican Festival Parade in Bridgeport. I do Memorial Day parades, 4th of July parades. I love parades. I love the fairs and festivals in Connecticut. And I love walking by myself without some big security presence so people can come up to me and tell me what's on their minds. Ask me to help them with whatever it may be. I tell a lot of people the most important part of my job is to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. So maybe we do a little more listening than talking. Sometimes I'm asked, do you do a poll? I say, I do a poll every weekend. I come home to Connecticut every weekend, and I am all around the state listening. That's my poll. And so I would hate to see security get between me and everyday men and women, children of Connecticut wanting to talk to me. I feel pretty safe, knocking on wood as I say it, and I think, you know, there's no reason to target me out of hatred or, you know, I don't have enough power to really make a difference. You're not going to change the world. I'd be loath to see a big security presence, and I would hate to think that we need it for every single public official in this country.
You've been very generous with your time, Senator, and I'd like to wrap things up with a bigger picture question. You're following both campaigns, you're seeing what they're up to, and you have your thoughts and opinions on the candidates. But this critical moment in time, is this an opportunity for both campaigns to react to the moment differently? And how would you like to see each campaign respond to this attack that we just all in America saw?
I'd like to see each campaign respond, as both have done so far, by condemning political violence. It is simply unacceptable. and to thanking and praising the law enforcement men and women who came to the aid of former President Trump and the victims of this violence, as well as people in that crowd, and our law enforcement community in general, our public servants, first responders who came to the aid of people there, but also to condemn and denounce political violence.
Senator Blumenthal, again, I appreciate your coming to our studio and having this very honest, very open, but also difficult conversation on where we are in our country. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that maybe we missed?
Just a great thanks to you, Morgan, and to WTIC for giving me this opportunity, and to the people of our state, thanks for giving me the enormous privilege of serving as your United States Senator.
Thank you very much, Senator. Have a good day and a good weekend.
Thank you.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.